What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Thanks for joining us, Patriot Power Hour. We're live. March 17th, 2020, St. Patrick's Day, but not really a day for celebration, at least not here at the PPH. Ben, the Breaker, Banksters, Cochran here with my co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. What's going on, buddy? It's getting pretty crazy out there, huh?
It's a very serious week. This is a peak crisis for our show. We've never broadcast during times like this.
Absolutely not, and we're going to quantify that in so many different ways. Just listen to us. Hey, we're the Patriot Power Hour. Generally speaking, a 60-minute show. We're going 90 minutes today. And we had a special report last week. I mean, we're pretty much doing two episodes a week at this rate. We may even have to up that game further as things develop. But each and every week, each and every episode, things are, I'm not going to say by order of magnitude, more intense, but pretty close.
Yeah, and we are seeing tonight a tactic that emerged when Paulson and Bernanke went into the White House in 2008 to tell the president that without immediate stimulus, X, Y, and Z is going to collapse. And tonight, breaking news, Treasury Secretary reportedly told GOP senators that without a trillion-plus bailout immediately, there will be Depression-era 20% unemployment because of this pandemic.
Yep. And at the same time, we're seeing Boeing coming out officially asking for bailouts. We already have massive bailouts of the financial system, which we'll get into deep detail on. And of course, we talk about that a lot here on the Patriot Power Hour. But don't want to just focus on that. You know, we're going to have a special, I think on our third segment, we're going to talk about what indicators we're looking for next. If they start getting red or black, SHTF.
Yeah, you know, tonight we have 11 blacks on Future Danger. Never had that before. So that's 11, like, really bad pieces of news that are without a doubt officially confirmed. No one is disputing them, all right? 11 of them. There's differences between indicators, and a lot of them hang out inactive towards the bottom of the webpage. A lot of them have never been turned on. But several that have never been turned on previous to 2 weeks ago, they're on right now. So we're going to talk about those, and then what dystopian end-of-the-world type stuff you might want to watch out for news reports on. Not saying it's going to happen, but there's stuff that we didn't expect to be happening now that it took 2 weeks with this coronavirus
guaranteed
exploding in the United States for them to turn on.
Absolutely. No, that's a great way to put it. This is episode 88. Just go back to episode 84, 83. I mean, I know for a fact I'm going to go back. I've listened to them multiple times just because stuff is going so haywire. But in 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, going back and listening to the last half dozen or so shows is like going back to Lehman and listening to what happened in 2008 if we had a show back then. Going back to 1987, what if we went back to October 1929 when the Great Depression essentially kicked off and you had folks analyzing it in real time? That would be deep archives. So we do it for that reason as well.
Yesterday was the second worst stock market crash ever.
Ever?
Ever.
in percentage terms, not just the nominal.
It was the greatest point drop in one day, but it was the second worst percentage decline behind 87.
Yep. And we did see a bounce back. Some call it a dead cat bounce today, up about 1,000 after down 3,000 yesterday. But
the damage is done. There was damage done to companies and to accounts. And now it's all about the fallout and the government intervention that is going to accompany it.
Absolutely. So we have tons of news articles on all those topics. Obviously, on COVID itself, we have a special little treat for our listeners. Guess what? We're going to have open phone lines in the last 45 minutes or so, 40 minutes of the show.
Yeah, definitely in the chat room at Patriot Broadcasting Network. Give us a call up. Talk about anything you want to with current news.
Yep. So, I mean, we got a couple more minutes. We're going to go to break. Come back with the news blitz, a solid 20-plus minutes, reviewing as much as we can what's going on now. Then the final, you know, that third segment, we're going to get into, hey, what indicators in the next week, month, 3 months could really portend something, you know, that next level. And once we get done with that, guess what? Open phone lines as well as chat interaction. And both you and I have interacted with folks in the chat room before. Super fun, super informative. I really want to hear what they got to say and what's going on.
So we're doing 4 20-minute quarters, right?
Yep, yep. We've expanded. Maybe that last one, though, we're going to have like a 30-minute to kind of round it out. So we're going to do the full 90 minutes, but essentially chop it into quarters. And that those last two, that they last might not segment. Be
equal quarters.
That last segment, exactly. It's not. It doesn't break down exactly. But that last segment will be the longest, and that's where we're going to we're gonna have some spillover, too. I mean, when we open up the lines in the chat, we're gonna there's going to be so many articles to talk about, we're not going to have any problem filling the air.
I have to be careful watching the clock tonight because it's all on different times. We usually start at 8 o'clock, so bumping it up a half hour early means we got something else we want to just really dive into in this first 20-minute quarter. The indicators that we haven't ever seen active, that are active now, involve the CDC pandemic push packages, although they're not using those terms. They are being sent out from the National Strategic Stockpile, which is the country's contingency medical disaster supply. But it has very little it can do to help with coronavirus because it's all down to a matter of testing. So these systems are activated right now, and I got to admit, since we've started Patriot Power Hour, medical pandemic disaster, we've probably been a little underweighted on our discussion of it. Because the only time that news ever propped up was Zika, Ebola, mostly overseas. A lot of the disease news, at least in the last 2 years, has been minimalized. And consequently, we never saw even low-level, topical, green-level news against some of these things. They're just simply turned on because it's a response to a proclaimed pandemic.
Yep. And I mean, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. And I have some great ideas of what we're going to see next. I hope they don't take place. And I want to also talk a little bit in that kind of third segment, not just what may come up next, but the geopolitical ramifications of this, the tension, but not just between the U.S. and China, but also Russia, Iran. Iran's seeing, I saw a couple headlines, didn't read them, not gonna lie. Could just be, you know, propaganda, but they're looking at hundreds of thousands potentially dying in Iran. I would presume that their hospital system's not at our level. Maybe that's why. A lot of it really depends on what happens with the virus. Do we start seeing 100 plus die per day in America, or even 1,000.
We broke 100 today.
Per day, though.
We broke 100 today.
100 new cases today.
Yeah, and I went back to the archive on Pestilence Befalls and looked at the history of this since we started seeing it. The first instance of any Wuhan virus that caught the radar that went into Future Danger was on New Year's Eve. By January 27th, they had 81 dead reported, and 3,000 cases reported. And we kind of crossed that January 27th equivalent zone in the United States today.
So when we're starting to see 1,000 per day or 5,000 per day deaths, that's kind of what I'm not saying I'm projecting, but that's what we're seeing in terms of this type of reaction.
Hasn't
expecting
done
$5,000
a no. day in China. No, it's always been in the hundreds.
Well, then there's no reason for this economic shock to such a degree. It's just going to be 2 or 3 months shut down. That'll mess things up, but that's not going to collapse the entire system. Unless the system was total fraud, house of cards in the first place, is kind of what I'm trying to get to. But on the flip side, either A, what I just said, or B, COVID's a lot worse than we know. Maybe China's highly manipulated. I don't think they could hide 50, 100, 200,000 deaths. But you never know. It could be still going at that exponential right now there, and they just say. But if not, if it's just going to be kind of, you know, 2-3 months quarantine, that's going to be really bad for business, knock us into a recession. But I don't think Great Depression, like people are saying. So are people trying to use this crisis to maneuver?
I don't know, man.
That's a good
the
question.
Last time we had a Black Monday last week, which was record top 10 decline. We had another one Thursday, and we did a special report on that last week. And then this Monday, 3,000 points. It broke under 20,000 today, or I believe.
And then it settled up about 800.
Yeah. So that major whack.
But still, the market is where it was 2 or 3 years ago.
It resembles 1929, right. not 87. 87 was, 23% in one day and a couple other bounces that were big, but not like this. The VIX is at all-time highs, the fear gauge on Wall Street.
Right.
The volatility index out of the Chicago Board of Exchange. It's a tradable asset that you can basically bet on how volatile the market is. And they call it the fear gauge because when things are highly volatile is because investors and institutional investors don't
up
know
and
what
down swings. Yeah, trust me. Risk managers like, and portfolio managers hate volatility.
It's in 70s and 80s all the time. Set a record high yesterday.
Single digits or maybe like 15 was kind of where it was the last several years while it was just slowly marching up. You know, all these gains were getting priced and now spiking, like you said, to all-time highs. But my question is, I'm just going to say, if COVID's only going to kill 5,000-10,000 Americans, even 20,000, that sounds like a lot. It's nothing, to be honest. And businesses are going to shut for 2 months, then there's no reason for the stock market to collapse, you know, another 30-40% from here. Like to here, yeah, the damage has been done to here. The Fed has stepped in. But what's next? Are we going to see another 10-30% chopped out? If so, then that reflects to me either A, people believe COVID's going to totally explode and be way worse than maybe we're thinking, or B, this might be the time where the banksters finally just, they realize their game is up and they're just going to demolish it and come in with a whole new banking system.
Yeah, well, tonight's news of setting up what they call a facility. Federal Reserve.
It's a new banking system,
facility
in a way.
That allows institutions, businesses under stress to put stocks they own on collateral with our central bank, you know, certainly has an effect on stock prices. It's a massive, unprecedented intervention in free markets in this country. Happening tonight.
Seriously, absolutely. And that's what I mean, essentially, is that maybe their time to, hey, look, we need a one world currency or at least a brand new SDR or equivalent. And we can't. We need to come together as a global system to overcome this global problem.
Well, the
pandemic.
G7 put out a communique saying that they all agreed, prompted by France, that we all agree that we're going to use the full force of our governments to cooperate economically to overcome this. That happened this week.
So we already have, in a way, a one world bank because the IMF and all the central banks are acting in tandem.
World Bank announced $2 billion in
not literally the World Bank, but I mean like the IMF and World Bank combined with ECB, Bank of Japan, Bank of Korea, obviously the Fed, and ECB, I think I said them already, all combined. They're really not independent from each other anymore. So we already have kind of a one world financial system, but maybe it's time for 2.0.
I don't know if they know what to do next.
But that's why I think the
best system they can come up with, and it's gonna do this.
They've been propping up this house of cards total debt monstrosity since 2008 or before. And I think at this time there's no more saving it, so they're gonna prop it up a little bit, and once it finally collapses, they're gonna try to come in and it's try to bring in about a new Bretton Woods 2.0. Think of it that way. But the U.S. will have a much smaller position.
Well, when you say a Bretton shared Woods, reserve. You're talking about the winners after World War sit down to discuss how it's going to be.
Right. And this is more of the financial version of that.
I don't know if you can necessarily skip the actual war.
Well, I've said that on this show many times, that that's what I really expect would be next. But it could be a cyber war / financial war.
Oh, cyber war's full raging tonight. We got reports of government servers under mass denial of service attacks, and that's combined with a lot of workers working from home, stressing the networks already to, you know, do telework on the government side, which is entirely possible. A lot of them are doing it. The Pentagon is empty for all intents and purposes. To not risk the spread of the disease among the top officers in our military, most are working from home.
Yeah.
But our opponents in the cyberspace know this, so it's raging cyber war tonight.
Yep.
But I kind of discount that as interesting, but not the same as a war.
Well, you know, I could agree. But it depends if all of a sudden power grids are getting knocked out or major transportation hubs and stuff. But, you know, we try to cover the here and now on Patriot Power Hour.
We should talk about
it. But since this is such a crazy time right now, and this is a 90-minute special edition, just talking a little bit of a preview of what we might be talking about kind of later on. And I want to hear what the listeners have to say, too. What do they really think? COVID is a true pandemic and, you know, SHTF? Or is it being overblown a little bit for whatever reason, as well as the financial system? Do they believe, you know, the banksters are just trying to take some more control away, or are they truly powerless? Or maybe I think it's kind of both.
So. Yeah, and the First Amendment's going to get abused with peaceable assembly right
Huge
now.
Huge thing. We got to talk about that.
It's going to happen. It's happening right now.
It's happening right now, and that's some of the articles we're going
to
talk about.
And I look at it as an actual virus is doing that to my liberty, not my government. Not yet.
Fourth Amendment, too.
But fourth, first, fifth.
Second. Confiscate guns. Maybe.
All those amendments might get a lot of stress, and a lot of people are going to go perfectly well along with it because it's, you know, it's for the pandemic, defeating the pandemic, right? The White House is ahead of everybody trying to get everybody on board to self-quarantine and really tamp this down.
Yep.
But at what point does it start getting exploited and we start seeing permanent
changes
to our liberties?
We're in the honeymoon phase right now. I think people are gladly self-quarantining. Oh, I can catch up on my Netflix, my video games. You know, the stores are still open, so you can still go out to the grocery if you need something. Does it get worse? We'll find out. If it gets worse, though, how can you get prepped? Well, that's what the Prepper Broadcasting Network is all about, and we're one of the great shows here, so check out the rest. We're going to go to break, and we will be right back with the News Blitz. Check out some of our sponsors and stick with us, Patriot Power Hour. Be right back.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour. March 17th, 2020, St. Patrick's Day, episode 88, season finale of Patriot Power Hour Winter 2020. We're going to have spring 2020 starting next week. We're not even going to take a break. Here's your news blitzkrieg. There's over 110 active indicators in a 96-hour window. This is densely packed crisis news starting from right to left tonight. New format. We're going to start with the natural calm because of the pandemic. Last Friday, we had 47 states, 41 dead. Also on Friday, 1,000 cases. All right. First reported or confirmed first cases were in November, weeks before the Chinese government announced. Jumped from Friday to Sunday. U.S. virus death toll to 60 with 3,000. All right. That was from 41 to 60 in 2 days, and on Monday, it rose to 80 with 3,800. Okay, today, Tuesday, we got earlier today, 75 deaths, now up to 100 deaths and 5,000 cases confirmed, okay? So, from 1,000 on Friday to 5,000, we've gone times five from Friday to Tuesday. Columbia University study has revealed coronavirus stealth transmission causing vast majority of cases. And tonight, breaking news, coronavirus is now confirmed in all 50 states. The National Disaster Medical System has been activated. American hospitals are facing major challenges. Health and Human Services Department deploys feds to airport screenings for coronavirus testing in the airports. The military, Department of Defense is transferring 5 million respirators and 2,000 ventilators to HHS. Pentagon is prepping Navy hospital ships tonight. The White House is prepping to deploy the military widely in this country. That's the National Disaster Medical System activated. Widespread school closures have been announced, and this is SHTF fully realized. On Friday, 12 states had closed. Now we have a list on a link of all the states that have closed, and we're expecting the headlines sooner or later of all 50 states having closed schools. Pandemic push packages being deployed. This is a piece of that national medical disaster system. Strategic national stockpile has been tapped. Article on this indicator in the fourth column. I'll tell you everything we know and what we don't know about the National Strategic Stockpile, all right? And another article explaining why even a huge medical stockpile will be of limited use against COVID-19. Elective surgeries are canceled across the United States. Hospitals are clearing the decks for the swell that's expected in emergency rooms. New York National Guard has sent troops into New Rochelle as a, quote, containment zone, all right? News articles are coming out reporting what it's like. It's not pure up martial law, but it is an example of cities being quarantined. All right. The pandemic has been proclaimed, and a surge of coronavirus patients threatens to swamp American hospitals. All right. Articles are emerging indicating that hospitals are calling doctors out of retirement. That's where we are right now. Column three, the economic parallel to everything, Mr. Cochran.
Thank you, sir. Wow. Definitely the most we've seen and easily the most severe. Starting off, debt massively monetized. The Fed cuts interest rates to zero. Launches a massive $700 billion quantitative easing program. Quantitative easing's back, folks. There's so many other repos. I'm not going to get too deep into it. But we're seeing $500 billion in the 84-day repo specifically. Unbelievable. That Fed balance sheet, as this indicator shows, is going to be growing a little bit each and every day. Trading halted. Monday, the stocks plunged. The circuit breaker was triggered right at the open, 15 minutes. Things only got worse throughout the day. But again, seeing these circuit breakers triggered, very rarely seen. We've seen multiple SHTF reported here. A lot of different articles going into that. Treasury Secretary says the financial markets may see limited hours. I saw him say that live today. Stock market continues to have a historic destruction, for lack of better terms. We can get in there and see the specific historical dates. We've got articles on that. But as we said earlier, we are seeing the worst since 1987 and possibly a few of the worst of the top 10 of all time worst days in the market. Going to the next, check it out. Online searches for unemployment benefits soar. So much for 3% unemployment. Manufacturing index seeing record decline. Airlines in trouble as virus saps demand. Mass amounts of flights being cut down. Let alone the sports market. We have sports tickets worth $1.4 billion in limbo. From March Madness to NBA and everything in between the Masters. That's a lot of money not moving around anymore. And guess what happens when that happens? Credit markets freeze. Credit markets suffer renewed turmoil over pandemic impact. The market value of junk bonds plummeting by trillions. That's a huge thing. We're going to talk a lot more about that as time goes on. When these junk bonds fall apart, guess what? The entire foundation is going down. So many articles, I don't even know where to go with next. Let's just keep moving. There's about 7 other indicators with 3 to 6 articles each that I'm just skipping right now because I want to keep going to panic buying begins trending. CDC lists effective disinfectants, store shelves empty. You know, guess what? We have massive amounts of runs on the stores. On gun stores as well. Look, got this line around the building. Sales of firearms and ammunition are soaring. One of my friends gave me an anecdotal about this. It's definitely occurring. People run into the gun stores before they close. Need to get protected, especially in these quarantined areas. But what I really am rushing to get to, because I want to talk about it so much here, interest rates suddenly moved. That cut to 0%. The stock market crashing. These are trending. These are black SHTF, worse since Lehman, as they say, even worse in my opinion. Look, this is going to change the financial system forever, equal or more than 2008, and we talk about that still to this day. So we're living through history right now. You know, we're seeing discount window. I mean, you mentioned something earlier, Future Dan, about the using stocks as collateral. We're seeing all different types and go through these different articles to see all the emergency tricks and the bazookas that they're pulling out right now. We have half dozen articles all about those different types of operations going on and continuing to go down. Unbelievable. Another SHTF, Extreme After Hours Repos report. I'd already talked about this quickly, but $500 billion in overnight repo funding. That is 3-4% of the U.S. economy is being bailed out at this point overnight. That doesn't sound like much, but guess what? It is. It's happening every night. Fear gauge is rising. The VIX record high. This is another SHTF indicator. VIX closes at a record high, 75.91. And if you haven't been to futuredanger.com, you got to check out these gauges that were implemented a few months ago. Deep into the red zone, essentially at the all-time high of that fear gauge, of that volatility index. So there's another SHTF. Let's find another. Fed abruptly meets. They're having another or more emergency meetings, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get another emergency meeting in the next week or so. We're seeing it. It's almost like every day is an emergency meeting. Whew, economics. I swear I tried to make that as efficient as possible, but even just scrolling through that is difficult. Let me pass it back to future Dan and keep this news blitz going because I'm running out of breath for real.
Yeah, let's keep on blitzing right on through the coronavirus panic and crisis. Curfews imposed. City in New Jersey implements coronavirus curfew on restaurants and bars. That's Hoboken. First one to do it. Shortly thereafter, San Francisco Bay Area ordered everyone to shelter in place. All but essential businesses closed in six counties. And now the New York City mayor is warning residents that New York City is going to get that too, as they top 80 cases tonight. In geopolitical Western Pacific news, the United States Navy is continuing to sail Freedom of Navigation Ops, sailing warships close to man-made dredged Chinese militarized islands. Chinese do not like that right now. And their foreign ministry is speaking up. They are now accusing a U.S. Army lab of manufacturing coronavirus, telling their people as much. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman today suggested that the U.S. Army brought the coronavirus epidemic to Wuhan, and it is notable that about a month before the first known cases, the World Military Games were held in Hubei province, right near the center of the outbreak. And now that Chinese government's relying upon that and blaming the U.S. Army. Of course, we've had a national state of emergency declared. The White House guidelines are posted right here in this indicator on Future Danger Column 2. Pentagon has issued unprecedented travel restrictions to service members, dependents, military civilians. The military is on lockdown to preserve military readiness and strength. They can't afford a certain portion of this disease to ravage the troops. The bases are essentially closed. National emergency allows Health and Human Services to waive certain health care laws. That upon Trump's designation as a national emergency, all kinds of laws are no longer applicable to private industry and or to government agencies when they're doing things. Contracting laws have all been changed so that things can be procured on an emergency basis, probably without competition, and that might lead to problems. National Guards are being activated. 54 states and the territories are gearing up with FEMA. And again, in the Western Pacific, we got the Japanese Navy growing in strength, putting out new submarine surveillance warships. We got fights breaking out across U.S. stores, a very early sign that riots could be on the horizon. As I mentioned in the first segment, Ben, foreign black ops suspected. Cyber attacks have hit the whole Health and Human Services websites during the COVID-19 response, and defense networks are under attack from all sides. All right, we got the White House's top doctor suggesting that the coronavirus should have a national shutdown, the population movement be essentially restricted, and a whole bunch of other sundry, early-level, green headlines that I don't have time to talk about here, which you got to keep your eyes on. But the bottommost one is Amtrak's Northeast Corridor to run at 40%. We don't have railways closed, but we're headed in that direction, at least for passenger traffic. Your ability to travel throughout the United States needs to be something you're thinking about at this point. It could get severely restricted. Column one, of course, the impact on the Bill of Rights is inevitable. Is it temporary? Is it warranted or unwarranted in the face of a pandemic? Time will tell, but we have federal government in active talks with Google and Facebook tonight to search American phone locations for safe, to monitor whether you're at a safe distance from others. All right, so maybe the phones have terms of conditions that just say, they all are going to decide they're doing that now, and now your device has to do it. All right, because they're probably all programmed to allow that. All right, we got a sneaky attempt to end encryption on these same devices. Reportedly worming its way through Congress. Guess what might get attached to a $1 trillion bailout with $1,000 of helicopter money to every citizen? none other than the inability of any device you ever use to use encryption to keep your data private. California, Ohio, Illinois, Massachusetts, Washington states are closing bars and restaurants. That list grows. We got limits on 50 people, 10 people, 100 people, different governor and mayor proclamations. All this is an impact to your First Amendment right to peaceably assemble. It is being abridged. Is it warranted? Can you abide it? For now, most Americans are considering it the best move in the face of a pandemic that could be beat if we just simply do this. Let's see how authoritarian this thing becomes. That's it. We got U.S. travel ban on Europe extended to U.K. and Ireland as well. That's happening, so it's a HHFTTF indicator ban. But that's 11 black, red on black indicators happening now.
Yeah. And each indicator has, I mean, maybe there's one with just a couple articles, but several of them have 4, 5, 6 plus articles. So this is easily the most we've ever seen, and I'm not excited about that. But it does give us a lot to talk about. This is a little shout out. We are going to be coming back, and I want to discuss a lot of these articles, but I also want to talk about what could be next. But we're going to shortly thereafter open up the phone lines. I'd say about 8:20, 8:25 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be opening the phone line. So here's the number. Yes, we now have a phone number. 303-731-3609. Again, write it down. 303-731-3609. Don't worry, we'll announce when the line is open, but there you go. We'll get that number out again soon as well. Looking forward to that. We're going to also get into the chat room here in a second. If you haven't yet, go to PrepperBroadcasting.com. Become a Patreon, or a patron at our Patreon, and just support the network. Awesome shows, awesome hosts. There's not a better time than now. Start listening to the PBN every single day. Subscribe to it. And we'll be right back with the Patriot Power Hour.
To help those willing and wanting, but unable to help themselves, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Follow Hollow socks are constructed from 80% baby alpaca fiber, 15% nylon, and 5% spandex. The alpaca fiber is sourced from Peru, but the socks themselves are manufactured in North Carolina. What's unique about alpaca fibers is due to the hollow nature of the fibers. It does a fantastic job at moisture wicking. Other benefits to alpaca fibers are that it's hypoallergenic and it's naturally non-itchy. Visit Prepper Broadcasting Network for a coupon code. Another great prep at a great price from PBN.
Do you intend to ship out the entire French population of the United States? Along with any other luckless soul who happens to voice a contrary opinion?
Well, if that contrary opinion threatens to divide the nation at a time when we must stand united, then yes, I will do just that. I'm entrusted with the nation's safety, Thomas. So these war measures will protect us from insurrection and subversion.
There is no war.
And that is the principle behind these measures, the prevention of war.
Cannot protect the nation by attacking the right of every man to speak freely without fear. You're trampling on the Constitution.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We're back. We are live. Patriot Power Hour. Thanks for sticking with us. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with my co-host, Future Dan. FutureDanger.com. episode 88, season 9 finale. But as we mentioned earlier, we're not going to take a week off next week like we normally do between seasons, because there's just absolutely way too much crazy stuff going. We're going to have a couple new sound bites, music, you know, maybe a commercial or whatnot. We've got to revamp it for season 10, which will start up next week. But that's kind of taking a back seat. And usually we make a big deal out of our special edition kind of season finale, but it doesn't. That doesn't matter compared to what's going on right now on FutureDanger.com and elsewhere. I mean, every single person I know is talking about this all day, every day. So it's beyond the zeitgeist.
Yeah, totally. So you want to get into some of these inactive indicators that we have no evidence of them happening? It's kind of good news.
Yep.
But if you hear about news in these indicators in the next week or two, you know which direction it's headed.
Yep, and it may even be, you know, a month or two, or really any time for some of these. But again, go back 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, and half of those indicators that are SHTF or simply dire, maybe the red instead of the black, they weren't active and hadn't been active at, you know, for a long time, if ever, in 2, 3 years. So this isn't what I'm about to read off of. If you hear, yeah, some of them sound outlandish, far-fetched, but hey, it doesn't mean they're not going
to
show up.
So you're going to focus on the economic?
And here we go. Ready?
Yeah. And then I'll get the other columns.
And yep, exactly. So we're going to start economic. Fuel rationed and fuel prices soar. We haven't seen that yet. In fact, gas is down a lot because of the oil war, but that's definitely something that could occur if all workers are staying at home or things really spiral out of control. Fuel rationed or fuel prices soar could be huge. But we're seeing a lack of demand right now, so maybe those won't pop up. We'll see. Let's see. Government checks refused. I think people will be accepting these for now, but we're putting bigger pressure on that debt.
That's more distant.
Exactly.
That's real severe.
Yeah.
Like the checks that the government punches out to people, banks and businesses won't recognize as currency. That's depression.
Exactly. Right now, it's the exact opposite, but it could flip on its head, and that's kind of...
Sales suspended. I got it inactive, but you think that might be coming?
So I'm glad we were able to get to this. It definitely... Mint sales have not been suspended, and we're talking about the U.S. Mint, and we're talking about precious metals in particular, but essentially, I think it was 4.5 to 5 times the orders year over year, just in the last couple weeks, of 1 ounce silver Eagles, and the U.S. Mint temporarily ran out of stock. Now, I want to kind of combine this with the fact that anywhere I've looked online, you're not finding the silver Eagle for less than $20, but the paper price is now at about $13. That's just showing huge disconnect between physical and paper. And so we'll see how that goes. We got
that indicator for gold hot.
Yeah.
It's like a yellow.
And there was so much. I mean, I had to glaze over it because there's so... But in of itself, I could talk about that one for quite some time. But we're looking at precious metals. Keep that in mind. If you don't physically own it...
How safe is Jerome Powell's job tonight?
He's doing what Trump wants him to do, for sure. You know, he's cutting rates to zero and doing $1 trillion. It's hard to ask for too much more than that. We'll see if they escalate. But he, today, and in the last week, but even especially today, actually, he really opened up, not a blank check, but pretty damn close, fiscally and from the Fed. So the Fed and the Feds are both taking this very seriously.
There's sort of a quasi self-rationing being insisted upon us with a lot of anti-panic buying news articles, government governors and mayors stressing that, you know, don't go and buy all the stuff you don't have because now that there's an emergency, for some reason we think you shouldn't have it, or that it makes it harder for people who need it more than you to get it. There's bizarre anti-preparedness messages coming out, and what it amounts to is, you know, they want us to be self-rationing. And it is a good idea not to be wasteful right now. It's never a good idea to be wasteful, but especially right now.
Right. No, I mean, and we talked about this, and it's going to be, I can see people writing thesis papers on this. What works better in a quarantine situation or mass pandemic, totalitarian centralized control, or hopefully a more open world, self-quarantine, and trying to convince people it's the best thing to do rather than drop the iron fist. I think the totalitarian works better in the short term, but with massive consequences, side effects, and it's worse in the long term, if that makes sense. But we're kind of, this is an experiment going on right now.
Well, with telework and social distancing, we might actually have a recipe that could, we're going to suffer from this, but it might not be as bad as China.
Hey, hopefully. Every day that we're able to stall it out a little bit helps.
Extra bank cash deliveries noticed. Never been activated on Future Danger, but that's a key one. And that's one, if you're listening to this show and you see it in your local area, let people know. Let me know at Future Danger. Let us know on social media. If you know it's before the ATMs run out, more armored trucks getting about with cash on hand.
Or longer lines at the ATM. You know, I go to my ATM and there's almost never anyone there. But if you see 2, 3, 5 people lined up, I mean, I'm not saying that's the end of the world, but that's not a coincidence, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, cash withdrawals unusually limited is probably coming. We've seen those before.
Yep.
There's been reports of cash withdrawals, you know, certain amounts. And a bank in New York City did run out of hundreds just this last weekend. So, you know, banks, that happens. But how widespread? How pervasive?
Yeah.
These cash supplies indicators, those could be next.
And what would be the impact on the psyche of the average American if you can't get cash?
Bank machines going empty would panic people.
Yeah. More than TP, which people are panicked because they can't get their toilet paper. But.
Now, here's an indicator in column 3 that's inactive that perhaps you could argue has always been black on red. The banks are nationalized. So I guess this indicator only becomes active when everybody admits it.
Right. It's like officially known.
They're certainly not private entities subject to supply and demand after this weekend again.
No, yeah. They're definitely, any progress they made, which was little since Lehman, has been wiped out in terms of becoming a free market and non-interference.
Novel trading controls announced. I haven't seen any new ways to control trading, but on the SEC side of the house, on the exchanges and how they run, any kind of trading controls that are unorthodox, never before thought of, kind of like those Fed commercial paper buying facilities and stock collateral lending facilities that we got announced tonight. Watch out for novel trading controls. There's probably a lot more sophistry in the Federal Reserve's brain trust that we haven't even anticipated.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And we can keep going, but, you know, largest mint sales recorded. We have Europeans default. I've always thought it would be Europe and or the Far East that falls apart first, officially defaults first, and then we're slow or quickly behind.
Bond market crashing could be soon.
And that's something crazy that happened today. We've been talking about this Treasury, this 10-year Treasury, and it's collapsed from 1.5% to about 0.4.
How about hedge funds?
And guess what? Just today, though, for the bank or for bonds crashing, they said, "Guess what? We're going to issue $1 trillion in new debt." Well, guess what happens? A lot more supply, crash in the price of bonds. That one might be indicating soon if we see mass amounts of deficit spending.
Here's an indicator that came out of the 2008 crisis: hedge funds redemptions are stopped. And what a hedge fund is. Hedge fund is if you're wealthy enough, according to Roosevelt era rules, to participate, I think it had to be net worth $1 million originally, then you're allowed to be in hedge funds, which are massive pools of billionaire money that take enormous risks and have techniques to make that pay off. But if you decide you don't want your money in your hedge fund, you have to ask for it back, and they don't necessarily have to give it back to you on time. So they'll just pull a contract clause and stop honoring redemptions. Has this one kind of passed us by this week, or is it lingering out there? I've lost track of where that fits in right now.
Yeah, I still think it's kind of the honeymoon, and people are trying not to panic. A lot of people are even talking about, hey, where's the bottom of this market so I can get in and get some gains, right? People aren't. I'm not saying they're going to be, but the next step is kind of capitulation where people are, okay, this is not going to bounce back. In fact, it's going to go down a lot more. I want to get all my money out. I'm not just trying to buy the dip anymore like it's worked the last decade. So if we hit that and hedge fund redemptions you know, they say, sorry, we don't have the money, or it's actually a 7-day waiting period or a 21-day waiting period, or, hey, guess what? There's a new bill that was passed by Congress and stamped by Trump that says you can't, it's a 3-month moratorium on that or limit. It could
cause another nosedive in the Dow.
Yeah, but if they say, oh, the feds could easily say you can't redeem for 1 month or put some limits on those redemptions, but that would activate that indicator, and that would be huge.
Credit ratings. Companies have them.
Yep.
The junk bond market.
It was cut yesterday.
We could have spent 90 minutes on just junk bonds and what the bomb that is right now for the country and the economy. What about sovereign credit rating? Uncle Sam's credit rating. I haven't seen any reports on anybody talking about that. Is it at risk?
It's like a national security issue. That's, in my opinion, definitely at risk, but you got to wonder how influenced or bought out, or even just the Pentagon saying, hey, S&P, Moody's, etc., you're not going to do more than a cursory cut, if any. You're definitely not going to throw U.S. debt into junk status.
I don't think anybody in the Pentagon would have a clue how to handle that.
Trust me, that would...
Central Intelligence.
Well, you know, all related, whatever. You can say
that CIA. Part of the establishment. There you go, absolutely. Fine. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I put them all, you know, they're not all together, but fine. You could say, you know, the intelligence, not just even deep state, but the powers that be would say, hey, you're not going to be cutting American
probably
debt
not likely to hit, but if it did, it would be massively dangerous.
Right. And I'm not saying they're not going to cut at all, because they already did cut the U.S. debt. If you didn't know, S&P downgraded from AAA to AA like 7-8 years ago, but that's still AA. What I'm saying is like, double B minus, like, or worse. So
that I don't think they'd ever admit to.
Exactly. And even if they wanted to, that there'd be people knocking on their door, not letting them. But I'm being a little extreme, I guess. But it's real.
What happened to derivatives? Why isn't this, you know, umpty billion trillion dollar derivative market that we've been so afraid of since 2008 not? Is it having an effect this week?
That's the bailouts. That's that repo overnight. They're keeping the derivatives afloat because if certain primary dealer banks collapsed and their derivatives collapsed, then everyone, it would instantly spread to everybody via derivatives. So derivative is almost the mechanism by which it spreads. So if they're able to hold it back with all this Fed stimulus and repos, then the derivatives aren't activated. They're not defaulted on. They don't come into play, and it's not. But you know, once those hit, it's game over. Yeah. It's like the dam is already broke. Think of it as the channel of water coming from a dam. It's nice and clean. But as soon as that water breaks, there's no turning back, and those derivatives will all, you know, trigger.
Price controls could come.
Oh, absolutely. We're already seeing some. But a lot more could be coming. People are trying to keep it together.
For the Prepper Broadcasting Network, the two indicators in column three that are economic in essence, but what is most often focused on, the grid goes down and the famines begin. I'll say it again. The grid goes down and the famines begin. Very distant. We don't see that tonight in March.
Definitely no, but
it's on the pathway.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
It's a few steps down, and
we're headed in that direction. We're not anywhere close, right. But the problem is this week, that kind of economic disruption, you know, 1929 was bad, and no government could stop it then, and we could have something like that happen where no amount of government intervention stops it again.
Exactly. And these bailouts and stuff might keep stuff rolling for 3 months, 6 months, a few years.
Let me hit some medical.
But not forever.
Let me hit some medical indicators with a little bit of time we have left.
Okay.
Rapid fire, because we don't have time to talk about all these. We're going to get the phones open here. Lots of column four is, of course, just natural world stuff. So you got to get past that, scroll a little bit deeper, get down into, some very unreasonable outcomes, like, we got medical providers getting assaulted, okay? We got 911 being overwhelmed, okay? We got Center for Disease Control, another federal government headquarters, like, quarantined themselves and completely in a panic mode. Like, obviously, these agencies aren't functioning. We don't have that. But if it got bad enough, that's the type of thing you look for. We got, flu prescriptions being abnormally filled. If they start to have some kind of cures and they start skipping all kinds of testing and trials that would normally take place and people are lining up to get it, that's could be coming. All right. Medical cures that are supposedly able to treat coronavirus being suppressed, like banned, like whatever the government solution to it is, there can be no alternative for fear of destabilizing people. That could be happening. Of course, vaccines and the effects that come from vaccines, especially rushed vaccines, could be on the horizon. Lab tests have already been severely delayed. And, threats of prosecuting disease rumors, like false information. Right now, it seems to be a very corporatist approach to censorship, as we've always endured since Patriot Power became, we broadcasted together, Ben. But using actual government enforcement power to prosecute people that have said things that don't align with the narrative, I expect to see that at the county, state level. And I'm hoping the courts will, ultimately find it. They will find it ultimately a violation of the First Amendment. But that won't stop it from happening for months or years before it makes its way through the courts. The courts, which, of course, may start relocating, and most of them are halting of their business, which means people accused of crimes are being held now indefinitely. The judicial system locking up. Watch for those things. And that is a direct... All of these things, folks, means we're getting worse, not better.
Yep.
And these are indicators. If you're a patriot, you don't want to see news for these. But on the other hand, if you're a patriot and you see news, you got to speak up about it and think about it, because they're more dire than what we have tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we got in 2020. We have the ability to communicate for now amongst one another, so share that information, tips, and advice, and all that. So we are going to go to break, and then the phone lines are open. So I'm going to go ahead and give that number out. You might as well start dialing right now. We're also going to go to the chat room and talk to some folks. So number 303-731-3609. 303-731-3609. Come on, call in right now. We'll get you all set up between the break, and also go into the chat room soon too. So stick with us. We do have a quick little snippet we want you to hear. Check out Patreon. We'll be right back.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month. $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. Patreon.com/PBN.
We're back. Patriot Power Hour. We have been going live for a full hour. We're about to hit the final 30 minutes of this special edition. We do have a caller. I'm hoping technical issues are not going to prevent us from both hearing this caller, because I was able to hear this caller, one of our good friends. Future Dan, fingers crossed. Let's see if you're able to hear him when he comes on live. We have Sean Caron, one of our good friends, friend of the show, so to speak. Sean, are you there?
I'm here. What's going on, Mr. Breaker of Banksters?
Man, I'm so glad you actually called in. You texted me a little earlier. And like you going live, or you'd asked, if we're going live or whatever, I'm like, let's do it. So super stoked to have you on the phone. We got a thumbs up from Future Dan here, so he's hearing you as well.
Sean Caron of Awakening Liberty. What is your
Awakening? Awakening Liberty show. And maybe I'll be joining you guys on this network, man, because I left TFR, so I'm There's too many mystics and psychics and weirdos over there. I mean, I love them to their degree, but you know what? I got to move on. I got to get to a new network.
All right. Well, we're trying to put a good word in for you. I mean, you've had a show for quite some time, and you know, there's stuff going on right now is like crazy enough. We don't need to necessarily go into the supernatural, so that's interesting to hear for sure. Although I do like getting into that stuff, not going to lie. But I guess, you know, real quick, your synopsis of what's going on right now, I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I've been watching this, and I got to say, I'm completely just dumbfounded by what I see happening on the local city levels, the local county levels, the small towns. You know, we have full school closures here. You know, Reno, Las Vegas has closed the MGM Grand, the Wynn Hotel Resorts. They've closed those. In Reno, Mayor Shiva has said that they're going to close all restaurants, bars, gyms, food courts, blah, blah, blah. You would think that's coming right behind that. You're going to see closures of movie theaters. You know, who knows where this could go, but it's going to impact the economy in a major way. And I had to step back and look at this, and then knowing what I know about the coronavirus, I mean, this is not new. It's been around. It's on your Lysol can. It talks about the coronavirus. In fact, the coronavirus used to be called MERS, M-E-R-S. And there have been outbreaks around the world in previous years. But then the thing that struck me initially was the fact that, again, we're in a political cycle. And then we know the left controlled Democratic leftists, the progressives that control the mainstream media have just, I mean, they've created a mass panic with their reporting of this. And we also know that they are tied into the Democratic Party. They're owned, controlled, bought and paid for and operated by the Democratic Party in this country. And here we are in an election cycle. So what was it said a while back? Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right.
So here's what I see them doing. They're creating a panic. And we have, you know, people have just gone off, you know, just buying all the store shelves and everything. Everybody's just freaking out over a virus, the coronavirus, which has, I'm not worried about the virus, Ben. I mean, statistically, you look at this, you have a better chance of being killed in a car accident or dying from influenza.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So why all the panic, other than the fact that the mainstream media is pushing this? And why? Why do I think this is happening? Election cycle. They want to create chaos, collapse the economy, blame Trump, so they have a chance to steal the election.
That's definitely what I believe. They're pushing it extra. You know, it is a serious situation that needs to be taken care of seriously with real measures, but that's definitely what I think they're pushing. Future Dan, I know you have a lot to talk about on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, if the self-quarantining from everybody gets panicked enough to work from home or stop working, yeah, the damage to the economy is inevitable. But you might tamp down on the pandemic, and it may prove out to have been a better strategy than, you know, what they tried to do in China, which is lie about the numbers and then trap you into the apartment buildings, and then when everybody in the apartment building has the disease, disappear you. I mean, we're probably going to end up better off than that. But this, it is an election year, and things that's where I look for, like, rioting to break out, political violence to break out, severe disruptions. There is one report that we never even got to, Ben, about food shortages starting to develop, potentially developing, and an Antifa leader talking to, you know, online to her community, you know, advocating shoplifting to put stress on the supply system.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's that we can have that kind of summer. What do you think, Sean?
The only solution is anarchy. Come on. Now, it's crazy, man, that people are even talking this way about something that really, when you statistically look at it, may have a 0.07 to 1% mortality rate. You know, it's not a big deal. The virus is not a big deal. But Teacher Dan hit it. We're in a political cycle, and they are trying to create as much disruption as possible. And when I say they are, they is certainly, we can go all the way to the top and call them the Illuminati, or you can just call them the Democrat progressives and the leftists in this country who are trying to hijack the Trump administration. Now, I got to say that I think Trump has been made a brilliant move today with Mitt Romney, and they're going to do this stimulus package, as you said, up $1 trillion. They're going to, I mean, he come out and he said, we're going to send you all checks. We're going to send you money. You're creating it out of thin air. I mean, the Fed lowered zero, you know, interest rates to zero. But the Dems are no longer going to have the ammunition that says that Trump didn't handle this well. He didn't take care of the people. He didn't have the loving, generous, kindness heart to take care of people. He headed them off at the pass, so to speak. That's what I think this whole thing was. And I think it's brilliant on Trump's part. I think he's smarter than they are. And, I think the stimulus package, while I don't technically agree with it, I think was the right thing to do politically. And I've sensed that Trump has been kind of looking at this going, okay, they're playing a game. I'm going to play back. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he may – it's a wrestling match, and he may come out on top, but it's a live wrestling match, and he might get pinned by some of this. That's where – that's the destabilizing aspect at the top level of government. And you said, Sean, at the state and local level, it's panicky right now. If the top mm-hmm. levels of government start getting wildly out of control, yeah, it's gasoline on fire.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a UFC fighting championship. They're in the octagon. And I have to say, you know, I said Reno, they're going to start closing everything. And but Sparks, which is right next to Reno, they've always said, you know, Reno is so close to hell you can see Sparks. But Sparks is the next little city over. And Sparks came out and said, no, we're not going to mandate closures. So I see some cooler and calmer heads prevailing, which makes me happy.
Interesting. Well,
they
got
cases in that county? That's going to
Nevada has,
as soon as they do.
Yeah, well, Nevada has 20 cases, 9 of which are unconfirmed. Okay, here back to the numbers and the statistics on a quote-unquote alleged pandemic. 20 cases, 9 of which are unconfirmed in the state, yet they've closed all the schools. Like I said, MGM, Wynn Resorts, they've closed everything. And the financial impact is going to be huge. And I'm not sure why there is an overreaction, in my opinion. Hopefully we'll see some cooler heads prevail. Statistically, the numbers don't add up to a pandemic. And, people are going to die from the flu and pneumonia and things like that. Probably more frequently than they will die from this coronavirus.
Yeah, my judgment's, I got to be honest with you, Sean, a little more sober, because if you watch what's happening in other countries, you know, we're going to see a death toll here. This is several times more deadly than the flu, and it's going to leave a psychological scar on this country.
It's possible. I won't say you're wrong. But, like I said, what I know about COVID-19, I don't see it. Ben, you've got 5,000 followers on Facebook. Future Dan, you've got tons of followers on your website. I got tons of followers. I don't know anybody that has COVID-19. Maybe there will be some deaths. But there are also going to probably be people that are either young and they already have immune compromised systems. And they're old and they've already got respiratory problems. And the flu would do the same thing to them. So I'm not panicking about the virus, but you could be right. I'm more concerned about the people buying the mainstream media hype and propaganda and calling Trump and conservatives racist because the leftist media is calling it the Wuhan Chinese virus. That's just absurd.
How's the supply lines looking out there, the store shelves?
Store shelves are empty. I've been in the stores twice in the last 2 days, and there are shortages. You know, I got plenty of food stocked up here, so I'll be fine. And I think for the most part, people are doing okay. But I am a little concerned because of the panic overbuying. And, it'll take a few weeks, but what's going to happen is you're going to have people who start to get desperate. And that's when you were talking about rioting, looting, things like that, getting out of control. So, if the food supply just ends up being zero and ends available, it's going to get ugly. I think uglier than the virus will.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of what I've been telling people myself, telling my wife, just talking to people in normal day-to-day life is, this virus seems serious. I'm not particularly concerned because I'm relatively young and healthy, but still, I don't want to get it. That said, I'm a lot more worried about people, the reaction, and even not even just from a physical point of view, but how about just the destruction of the Bill of Rights and this martial law. We're going to open up the line here in a minute or two, Sean, to try to get someone else in. But I know you have talked a lot. You and I have talked a lot about martial law, about the police state, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you see this progressing potentially as it relates to the evisceration of our rights?
Well, I could see it happening, like I was just talking about. You know, people start panicking and getting desperate. They're going to have to step in, and there will be some sort of martial law, curfews, things like that. But I think that's going to be put on the American people and their reaction to the mainstream media propaganda, the hype and the panic being caused by them. That's going to be put on the people, and I don't think it's going to be being caused by the virus. But again, we could look at this band and say, you know, maybe this is the implement. This is where they're going to reset the global economy, go to a one world currency. This could be biblical revelation. I don't know yet. But you know, we're all watching very closely, and we're trying to figure out where this is all going to head. But I'm 51 years old. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, so crazy stuff, crazy times. So, Sean, thanks a ton for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and see if we can get another caller in. We can only have one at a time on our system. But
thanks, Sean.
We're going to have you on again soon, and we'll see what we can do about maybe getting you on the network, sir. How about that?
Most definitely. Hey, you guys take care. God bless. Be safe. Much love to all.
Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks so much. Great stuff. Long time friend of the show. Didn't know he was calling in, so that was fun. But guess what, folks? Now we got a little bit more room. Only about 15 minutes left in the show. But if you still want to get on air, 303-731-3609. If you tried to call earlier while Sean was on, our apologies. Only can have one in line at a time, but it's now open, 303-731-3609. While we see if we get any more callers, we got a fair amount of chat room activity. Future Dan, what's going on in there?
Yeah, Volcana, Janamana, Sam B. We got a few in here.
Yep, so if you haven't yet, definitely go to prepperbroadcasting.com. Live chat, we got, again, more than a half dozen. I know this chat room can get pretty raucous and good stuff going on here, so I encourage people to join. It's a fun time, so to speak.
Volcano says that they have part of California on lockdown. We reported that in Northern California. What are your predictions for other places, and do you think a total country lockdown is possible, or will it be isolated to breakout places? Well, I'll tell you this. There is an indicator of future danger that was drawn straight out of the movie Contagion or Outbreak, one of the two. About National Guard starting to put border checkpoints. So entering one U.S. state to another, you know, that would be the type of martial law that would be severe, like Sean was just talking about. Can it get to that level? They could do it. They can order it. Are we close to it? I just don't know. But New Rochelle, New York is quarantined.
Yep. And I quickly talked about this. My good friend, going all the way back to college, almost two decades, lives in San Francisco, and they've been quarantined. They've been officially locked down. He went to Dick's Sporting Goods to go get weights. I hope he's prepped up more, but he's like, oh, the gyms are closed, and I'm going to get some weights for exercise. And he said everything, like tons of stuff was cleaned out, 30-plus people in line to buy firearms. It may not have been Dick's. They probably don't even sell it in California. But this is, again, in San Francisco area, people trying to buy firearms, lining up. That's locked down. I heard Seattle is coming right up. New York City's pretty much there. Other major urban centers, but kind of to get to Volcana's question or thought, what are our predictions? Will we see a total country lockdown? I think definitely those urban centers, maybe the top 20 by population, the great majority will be fully locked down. A lot of the smaller
communities. What's a lockdown?
You're not, a minimum, I'm going to say a curfew.
Curfews are going into effect nationwide all over the place.
But I mean, like, enforced in, like, roadblocks from interstates and major highways.
That would be population movement controls. Is that what we're talking about?
Somewhere between a curfew and that is what I'm thinking.
Like the interstates closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, interstates
or closed. Or very limited.
Closing interstates would be one way.
Yep, so very limited is what I'm looking at. But what I'm saying is those that are in small cities or small towns or out in the country, they're not going to feel the effects of the lockdown as much as, you know, the top 10, top 20 urban centers, which I think will be truly locked, like the most extreme version of lockdown, if that makes sense.
The rail light, the opening that we have, and this is what the White House is saying, and it's non-political, it's what expert opinions are saying, is if testing can ramp up so that we start finding everybody with it, then quarantine measures will all go to the point of you're going to be locked down because you tested positive and you got to stay in your house, right? And if you don't, we might arrest you and hold you for the same amount of time until you're not sick anymore. But if the testing never arrives, the growth of the disease will be so widespread that the bodies are going to start the body count is going to start to mount, and that's going to be destabilizing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're seeing here. Let's go back to the chat room. Actually, from Volcana, she mentioned, or we talk about the incubation period, and it's already known that it's extremely long.
Last
4 to 7 days, asymptomatic, and can still spread it. But we have, quote, my brother and sister-in-law worked for a company where someone returned from Wuhan in December. Now they find out he tested positive. Is that due to the lack of testing? Is that due to a huge incubation? I guess we're not sure for absolutely sure yet, but that just means we may be on a much, the numbers may be much worse than we're seeing. People know that to some degree, but it could be way, way worse.
So Volcana's brother and sister-in-law, the gentleman that they know, if he came back from Wuhan in December and he tested positive, then either he's still contagious or not. And if he's not, it would coincide with the 37-day figure being used, right, by authorities. That's what Israel's doing. When you arrive in the country, if you're let in, you go to house quarantine no matter what for 37 days. And that's because they can't test. They don't have the test kits. 14 days to incubate and make you sick before you're very contagious, but in the 14 days that before then you're still contagious is the figure I've seen. 5 days from catching it to being able to transmit it is also what I've seen. I also seen reports of 15 feet in the air and can last a half hour. That's being disputed today by a lot of sources that saying, no, it's primarily just, when it lands on surfaces. And this thing could mutate.
That's so I almost am worried about the second wave. Like, this kind of paves a path for that next disease that spreads more quickly and is more dangerous.
It might not be in the same.
I'm talking like years down the road potentially.
In all places right now.
Yeah. So I do want to get to Sam B. He's commenting. Assuming it's a him, maybe it's a she. My apologies if not. But Sam B. Stop making pandemic a political issue. Doesn't care who you voted for. Also, Sam B. stated that, oh, just because you don't know someone that has it, it's not real. So what are your thoughts? What's your comments on if this is political? I think people are making it political, so de facto it's political. I try not to make it political. What do you think?
It's inevitably going to be made political.
Yeah.
Super political. None of us can stop that.
Yeah.
There's just too many people that are inclined to think that way.
So from a prepper point of view, in my own personal way, I don't waste any time or energy besides analyzing the news for different reasons, but I just put my head down and prep, and I prepare, and I don't think of it as a political issue. I think of it as a preparedness issue and a cultural societal issue. But as you said, and I agree, other folks are going to make it political. So if you even monitor politics, let alone participate, it's the de facto number one story. Well, you can't get away with it. Get away from it.
And this show is libertarian politics, so we're making it political when we talk about freedoms and tyranny and fiat money system versus, a real currency that is based on something that's outside of, government diktat, right? So we're political. We're just not one of the two main, partisan political. We're not going to talk about that. We're never going to talk about that on this show. You didn't hear it in the second segment when we did the news blitz because it's not in and of itself dangerous. Democracies have partisan politics, and they are going to rage during crises. This is not dangerous. This is normal. The alternative to that is you can't say anything or you can get disappeared, like in China. I think we'd rather have open and free debate, but it can get heated and it can start getting dangerous when rioting, looting, political violence start to rear its head. That's when an authoritarian backlash comes along that I don't have a taste for.
No, great points. But some good comments by Sam in there as well. I'm a big believer in mathematics and science, and I wholeheartedly agree that just because you do not know someone who has it does not mean that it's not a real issue. So I definitely support Sam on that. comment. Even if 1% of Americans died, think of 100 people you know and one person died of it. That would be 3 million, really 35 million dead. Okay, so that's 1%. So the odds that you're going to know someone is very small. That doesn't mean it's not real. If we have 350,000 deaths, that's 1 in 1,000. So you may not know anybody, but still 350,000 people dying, and that's a massive effect.
It's going to be unlike anything in our lives.
Yeah,
it's not good.
So I definitely good comments there, Sam. We're kind of running out of time, but I still got some good comments in here. Get a couple more.
Supply chains are being
stressed. Yeah, we're seeing kind of some breaking news here, and stuff has just been breaking literally 24/7. But when the dope farm supply chains being stressed, Jen chimes in. They called up the National Guard in Iowa, going back to dope farm, ordered all bars and restaurants closed at 5 p.m. today in North Carolina. I know in several other states they did. My own brother, who is a bar manager and assistant manager for the whole kind of winery thing, told that yesterday was his last day and we'll call you when we need you. So he has, you know, two children at home. He's going to get some Mnuchin fed and feds stimulus to keep him afloat. I don't think he's going to starve, but he's affected.
What's that new to prices, Ben?
What's that?
If everybody gets equal and same amount of money gifted to them out of a treasury that's empty anyways, and then collateralized into, you know, debt that's now bought by the Federal Reserve, which is a entity that exists from the powers of the very same government that has the debt. If it sounds circular there, it's because it is, right? You know, what does it do to prices? If everybody gets $1,000, don't certain prices automatically just rise to meet the supply of dollars?
Well, people have been asking, where's that inflation? Where's that inflation?
We haven't seen it that way.
Well, exactly. I think it's not going to be a gradual inflation. You're going to see a massive
snapback. It's the dumbest possible move.
I mean, you know, it's deep. We're running pretty low. I can talk 3 hours about the fiscal and Fed stimulus. But we know that in the short term, they're going to save things in terms of just helicopter money. Yeah. But what is the second, third, and fourth order ramifications of that? That's what I want to know.
Explain to everybody what we mean by helicopter money, if you've never heard that term.
What does it mean? Well, guess what?
It's a thought experiment, right?
Yep.
If you flew over a crowd to stimulate the economy, just open the back of the helicopter and dump pallets of cash out in the economy, and they go and spend it, have you not improved the economy? It does. If it sounds like drinking a Mountain Dew and then feeling kind of a headache an hour later, it's because that's what it is, right? It's not good for you.
No, but it's more like heroin than Mountain Dew, but Mountain Dew is bad for you as well.
$1,000 is Mountain Dew.
Exactly.
For
so,
you and me. A billion, or $500 billion to the banks between Sunday and today is, yeah.
Right, and they're going to quote-unquote pay it back. But that's where we're really at the precipice right now. I feel as if we are, in terms of the emergency situation with the financial system and the bailouts that are going to be coming from the Treasury, this is equivalent to 2008, 2009. It's about that level, which was a super crisis. I mean, we call it the financial crisis and the Great Recession for a reason. Question is, are we going to move to that next level where instead of sending people $1,000, they're actually going to suspend mortgage payments for 6 months? They've already extended tax day by 90 days. It's no longer April 15th this year. Once they say no tax collections, hey, that's the best stimulus I can think of. Stop taxing the crap out of us. I can support that. But that would add $1 trillion, $2 trillion, $3 trillion to the deficit. At what point does that black hole of debt just explode?
Right, right.
So that's what we're going to be finding out.
We got Prepper Dad and Prepper Son in the chat room, and they're getting ready to come on with the next generation in about 6 minutes.
Yes, part of that double barrel Tuesdays with the Patriot Power Hour and Next Generation Show. They're awesome, awesome duo. We got to get them on. We actually talked about it, haven't enacted it yet, but pretty soon I think we're going to have to do kind of a merged show with them where we're all live on air at the same time. But not tonight. Coming up on this, you know, we only have a few minutes left. We've talked about so much. What is one article or topic we have not really talked about that you think's critical we need to finish a show on?
Yeah, I'd have to go back to the heat map. Can we do that for a second? We're jumping over there and scrolling along.
FutureDanger.com. Follow along.
Yeah, you know, it's food shortages, Ben. You know, are they real or are they not going to happen? Amazon glitch stymies grocery deliveries. Amazon has now announced that it's solely going to deliver medicine and food now, right? Will the trucking lines maintain what all of our cities are based upon, which is concentrations of populations that don't have the food supply and have to deal with it?
Well, I know folks here on PBN and myself are hopefully prepped up. Hopefully you've been doing your due duty for many years and putting some finishing touches on it now. But there's a lot of folks out there that aren't, and that's what we got to be prepared for. You know, what could I say? This 90 minutes blew through so quickly. We touched on so many topics, so many different things, but I feel like we didn't even scratch the surface. So what can I say? We will be back next week on the 24th of March. See how crazy things get at that point. I expect the financial market to kind of take a little bit of a rest. The Fed has opened up so much liquidity and stimulus, and the federal government is about to inject so much kind of bailout, whether it's billions and billions to Boeing or direct transfers to the people. I expect things to cool down there, but from the virus point of view and societal and First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, things are only going to get worse, I think, in the next week. We'll see.
What was that term you used before the show? We won't even get into it, but it's about the trust of the overall society.
Behavioral economics. People don't act like rational, logical people with economics, especially in times of crisis.
Google that, folks.
What's that?
Google that, folks.
Check behavioral economics, some experiments on that.
Go and check out what that means, because if everybody stops trusting the dollar's worth anything, that's when it's really SHTF.
And those are the things that happen overnight or within just a couple days. So, hey, not to leave it on a downer, I still believe that America and the world in general, humanity, can rise past this. It's just a big test for us and come out the other side.
It is a crisis tonight, though.
Yeah. We'll be back live next week on the Patriot Power Hour.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.